I want to follow up on a scripture that we shared a lot from on Sunday. And that's from 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Just to real quickly, for those who, of course, weren't here, the context is that you have this extraordinary evangelist, Paul, whose heart beats to preach the gospel. He finds himself in a place called Troas. The church in Corinth is going through chaos. And he had taken several measures to try to bring them to a place of repentance. And finally he had sent Titus to take a letter called the stinging letter and to them. And he's waiting to hear back from Titus. He's traveling, Paul is, and Titus was supposed to meet him. To tell him, Paul hoped to hear that Corinth responded positively to his letter. And so Paul says in chapter 2, verse 12, "Now when I came to Troas for the gospel of Christ," so he came there to preach the gospel. He's also hoping to find Titus. "When I came to Troas for the gospel of Christ, and when a door was opened for me in the Lord opened the door, I had no rest for my spirit." Again, not my flesh, but my spirit. "Not finding Titus, my brother, but taking leave of them, I went on to Macedonia." And as I mentioned Sunday, this is a really powerful text. And the contradiction here, that this one who went there with two things in mind. First, for the gospel. Secondly, to meet, hopefully, Titus. And when he gets there, there's a door for him in the Lord. It's open to preach the gospel. Well, that's simple. Evangelist, door opened by God. And yet it says his spirit was troubled, not finding Titus, so he left from there. Now the question is, did Paul blow it? Did God kind of send these contradictory terms? I don't know. He said his spirit was troubled, so I was kind of thinking he was just going with what was happening. But it sure seems weird. And I'm sure it seemed weird to Paul. But Paul's response was in verse 14. I want you to hear this last words first. And again, this is for those of you who are Sunday, bear with me. He uses in the middle of that verse the term "in Christ," that powerful, amazing little phrase that defines who we are. He says, "But, thanks be to God," none of that made sense to him. It even may have looked like a defeat to him. "But thanks be to God who always leads us." Paul believed because he was in Christ and because he had committed himself to do the will of God above everything else. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, that his one ambition was to please God. And if that's who you are and you know you're in Christ, you can be sure that he's always leading you. No matter what it looks like, no matter where it is, he's always leading you. He said, "But thanks be to God who always leads us in his triumph in Christ." That's such a powerful word. Again, Paul didn't just believe that he was always being led. Whatever was going on just wasn't happenstance or circumstance or because somebody else made a choice concerning his life or did something to him. He was being led by God. But the other thing is he always thought he was winning, no matter what it looked like. In a jail, later in his life, he talks about being in heavenly places in Christ. In jail, possibly facing death the next day, he and Silas were singing songs because no matter what it looked like, he knew he was led there. He believed Jesus was winning. That's a heavenly places mindset. But here's the thing that ministered to me many years ago when I still lived in Birmingham. I was in my 20s. And I was alone with the Lord, just spending some time going through Scripture. And somehow, I don't remember all the circumstances, but I was missing out on something fun. So my friends were doing something, and I wasn't doing it because I couldn't do it because I needed to do some other stuff. And so I was spending time with the Lord, but I was feeling again like I was left out of something. I was missing out on something. And I was reading this verse, and then I read the rest of it, or the rest of a little part of it. "Thanks be to God who always leads us in his triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the experiential knowledge of him, of the encounter of him, of his presence in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." And there's more, but this is the part I want us to see. Not only is he leading us, always. Not only is he always winning, no matter what it might look like. The one who's always leading us, if we have an attitude have absolute surrendered faith, thanks be to God, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, because we believe we're in Christ and we're yielded and he's leading and he's winning. He says, but thanks be to God who's always leading us in his triumph in Christ, and he's manifesting through us the sweet aroma of the experience of Christ, of him in every place. In every place. In Walmart. You know, again, doing the laundry, leading people to Jesus, praying for the sick, raising the dead, in every place. And then he goes on and says, this is what religion means. For we are a fragrance of Christ, then among those who are perishing, those who have been saved. And what I realized that night, what the Lord ministered to me, and I've never forgotten, he said, Chuck, right now, if you'll just thank me, in absolute surrendered faith, if you believe I'm leading you, I'm not only just doing it just right, your experience of Christ, when you're surrendered to Jesus, when you live a life of utterly surrendered faith, you carry his presence. He just releases his presence, even there in a dark room with one little light praying while everybody else is out doing something that seemed more fun. And he says, that thing that's coming forth out of you because of your surrender is a fragrance of Christ to me. It ministers to me. And I realized that was the real issue. That I was an incense to him. I was bringing pleasure to him. And even back in those days, I was teaching the Song of Solomon. And I came back to that place in Song of Solomon was one. When the king, when he's acknowledged as king, when he has the right to run your life, and your attitude, no matter what it is and no matter what it looks like, is thanks be to God. I'm in Christ, saying, he said, when the king is at his table, then my perfume gives forth its fragrance. Because the presence of Christ that comes forth from a surrendered heart, whether you're in a room by yourself or in a crowd of people, that's what we live for. And that brings him the great pleasure. Our lives become a sweet-smelling fragrance to God.